So, Hugh Bowman, let's just take a moment to absorb what's just occurred. 29 wins straight, 22 at Group 1 level, 4 Cox plates. It's fair to say that you and Team Winks have created another race that has stopped the nation.
I can't believe it, Chris. I really thought in the build-up to this I'd get quite emotional. I am feeling emotional, but the electricity that came through my body when I turned into the home straight just then was something that I guess I only get to feel.
I haven't had the good fortune of seeing this next documentary. It premieres 11 a.m. this Saturday on Channel 7. But for those who have seen it, they say it is spine-tingling from start to finish. Winks, a documentary on one of the best horses that we have ever seen in our living lifetimes. It is another masterpiece from Pete Dixon, who's in studio to tell us about it. Pete, good afternoon.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Why Winks? Why did you, for all of the work you've done on different sports and your footy stuff we'll talk about, why did you feel compelled to channel Winks?
I struggled a bit this year with it because there's a part of me that feels that people are a bit Winksed out. But last year we did the Trilogy of the Turf. So racing.com, Moonee Valley and Ladbrokes approached us to do a film, and I was busy on the second cricket one, Two Nations with India. So I engaged Andrew Leonard, who's now with Racing, but he did a great job on Trilogy of the Turf, and I came in at the end and really enjoyed the process because it was a different avenue for me, the racing. So that went really well, and then so this time they sort of came back to us this year, and I was like, well, I'm not sure what we could possibly do that. Yeah, everyone knows.
That hasn't already been done and hasn't already been spoken about.
Yeah, so, and to be fair, I didn't really want to go back and do interviews with the key players again because what more can they say? Mm. So I sort of was a bit reticent early, but then I sort of came up with an idea of focusing on the day itself. In a lot of ways, this is one very similar to when I used to focus on the grand final day and make it a really emotional ride for the people watching. So no matter if you don't know Winks, I think this will explain
everything.
And the other thing I wanted to do about this is I spoke with Martin Flanagan, who I'm great friends with, and I love his writing, and I thought, how do you describe this achievement in a way that will resonate with everybody across all sports? So I sort of touched on a lot of other sports that happened on that day around the world.
So October 27th's the date.
The date.
And I didn't know this until I saw the trailer. As I say, I haven't seen it. I look forward to watching it on Saturday. Did you know that there were so many other meaningful things in world sport that all happened on the same day? Or did it just, once you started researching, did you find all this out?
Took a little bit of a punt on that. But, I was stunned, to be honest, what did go on that day. And there's elements of the story where I talk about anticipation, trust, resolve, all the things that this horse has. Mm. And I wanted to build that into a wider sporting story. So Martin wrote some beautiful words around that. And so when I started investigating and researching what went on, there's some high-profile sports and athletes that went on that day. There's some not so high.
Yeah.
But it still tells a story. So it was enough content. And with my relationship with Getty, I was able to get some material which really helped tell a story.
You can send your text through to Pete on the Speckled text machine, 0433 98 11 16. So once you started to do this, you would have been aware of it prior because, as you say, what more could you say or do when it came to Winks? But it was the one thing obvious is just how much joy this horse brought to people and not just to racing fans.
Yeah, well, we had crews at the Cox Plate, and when I went through the raw footage, which took forever, I was just completely stunned by, and I've put it on the documentary, people who have no interest in racing clearly were there only for Winks, old and young. I took for granted the love that just this, and I don't think it was purely the winning. I think there is something magical about Winks that people took on. And when you see the documentary and the slow motion and these beautiful shots, I don't think there's been anything on racing and this is credit to Cruz and everything, that the material I got, this is stunningly beautiful. This is very cinematic, and it shows Winx in all her glory. And I think this, and I think she deserves that. You know, that's part of the reason I made this film.
Winx was kind of this beacon of hope, wasn't it, for racing at a time where there was some stuff that wasn't great and some negative headlines about the sport. Yep. Winx was about the only thing that kept it going.
Yeah, and when you see these riveting close-ups of Winx, you're almost, she's in total control. Do you know what I mean? And other horses are prancing around and whatever, but she seems to, and they say, oh, she knows where she is.
Yeah.
And everyone's, all the team is still saying, she knows where she is, she knows where she is. You sort of go, really? You know, when you actually look really close, you get this really distinct feeling that she absolutely knows what's going on and is very confident in her own skin and prancing and playing up to the crowd. We did some post stuff after the next morning where you see her almost just glowing in the glory.
So it's just strutting a bit.
Yeah, so I really, once I got through that initial, do people need to see something more? I really enjoyed it, and I think people will.
More with Pete after this. 0433 98 11 16. You can send your text through. Pete is here as part of our McCafe coffee catch up this afternoon. Smooth barista made coffee from McCafe. It is available 24/7. We'll talk more about Winx, and one of my other great loves is cricket. I want to talk to you about Two Nations, One Obsession before you go as well. Pete Dixon in studio with me here on SEN. I'm absolutely delighted to have Pete Dixon in the studio with me for McCafe Coffee. You need a delicious barista-made coffee right now. McCafe has got you covered, and they are open 24/7. The next documentary, Winx 4 premieres, I should say, 11 a.m. this Saturday on Channel 7. Pete, just a text coming through as well for you. Pete Dixon, absolute star. He's 150 at Malvern one day, had a bit of Winx about it. Did you make a big score one day, did you? But don't ask him about the final eight for 16 in half an hour.
Yeah, that was Damien Fleming. I've sort of got a feeling I know who that is. Thanks for sending that through, Brett. Yeah. It was a good 150.
Was it?
I don't want to talk about that.
Maybe you should make a film on that. Hey, with Winx, people will naturally, I'm sure you get requests or people pitching ideas to you all the time. I know, as I say, I love the ESPN 30 for series. I've seen every minute of every one of them. And I know that they're roughly around the sort of $1.5 to $2 million budget.
US.
Are we sort of similar to put something together, not just Winx specifically, but the documentaries you do? Is that the same sort of ballpark?
No. I wish. Yeah. I'd love to have that sort of, because the things you could make would be astonishing, and the people you could get as well, because obviously talent fees and so forth. For the bigger feature docos like the cricket and the some of the bigger AFL ones I've done in the past, we're sort of working more around the 400, 500 mark here, which, and I'll be brutally honest here, at the end of the day is not. I sort of go to the extreme of shooting. I get great crews. I've got a great team. Got great editors and so forth. So I spend every cent.
Yeah.
As a filmmaker,
yeah.
You know, you don't make money. That's to be clear. But, and then what happens with that is the ownership of the copyright and the back end always belongs to whoever has funded it. So you don't even get that kind of return. So that's okay. I'm a storyteller who wants to get stuff out there. But then there's various elements of, like, for example, this one is nowhere near that because it's a shorter.
Sure.
And it's outfit. And it depends where it's going. These other ones were going internationally around the world. This one's really for the Australian market. It's 11 o'clock on a Saturday. So, and they'll probably replay it. But it's getting harder, Jack, to make these sort of films, because the times have changed in terms of broadcasters used to pay some big money to air them. They don't do that anymore. How often do you see a sports doco on free to air?
Not as much as what we should.
No.
And you see too many cooking shows, yeah, and too many building shows, not enough sport.
Realities, yeah, taken over. And Fox do play, and they rerun a lot of my docos, and they do a great job in that. But again, it's the audience and So it's getting more difficult, and I love the long form storytelling. I'd love to do more of it. And I get probably 3 calls a day with terrific
ideas.
I'm sure
you do. well, I've got a list here actually. So,
and my fallback is, you know, that they're all great, but how do we fund it? And that is becoming the main issue for, I think, documentary, not just me, storytellers.
How long does a good one take to put together?
Well, I'm probably pretty quick compared to most, but you generally have to look at 12 months. My late brother Rob, his last one was Essence of the Game. That was an 18 month. I generally try to push them through between 6 to 9 months, just because, as I was explaining, the money's not, there's not a whole lot. So you've got to try to work within that. You've got to organise crews, you've got to organise talent. Plus, the people who ask you to do it have a deadline because they want to put it on air at a certain times. For example, the Cox Plate, they wanted it before the Cox Plate.
Yeah, sure.
So I've got to get that done. I'm probably a little bit faster than most. I'd love to have longer, but you got to stop at some point.
Any chance of a movie at some point?
Yes. That's actually something I'm really looking forward to having a crack at. Sort of joined forces with Martin Flanagan. I respect highly. And this is the Tom Wills story,
One he's passionate about too.
Very passionate about. And he's written some great material, and he's actually written a treatment that I've read, and it's stunning. And I would love to direct. I've always thought sport movies in this country struggle a little bit with the fact that it looks like people aren't really playing sport.
I think I would agree with that one.
and I just think with Martin's background and my background in the cricket and football, I just think it's a good marriage, and we'd be able to really make something special for the game. It's not just footy; it's cricket. He was huge in the development of cricket in this country as well. So, yeah. I mean, it's right up my alley. We'd love to do that, but again, our challenge at the moment is to find backers and try to get this thing up. It's a massive job, which would be, you know, that's a year or two of your life, which I'd be willing to do. But I just think that needs to be told, and hopefully we get there.
Be a nice one for you to put on the resume as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. First time director of an actual movie is a challenge, but I've directed 20 feature documentaries, so it's not something that I'm scared of. And I'd have a great team around me as well. So but I just would like to put my, and to a larger degree, Rob, my late brother's style on something like that. I think it would be fantastic.
Just before I let you go, the final story documentaries are unbelievable. I love them. And I got a great joy about 3 weeks ago when I was on a plane, and Virgin are starting to replay some of them as well. And I could watch them again. And I'm thinking, oh, how bloody good is this? I can sit down on the way to Sydney and watch this. Is there one of the final stories in particular, though, that you enjoyed putting together more than others? Is there one that sort of sticks out with you and think, yeah, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. This was really good.
Yeah, it's very hard to pat yourself on the back. I'm a tortured soul with that. I could always think I could do better. But the one clearly, for me, when I think about it, is 1989.
Yeah, I thought you might say that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a very personal one for me with my brother. But I mean, not only that, but the guy, the talent on it, because I knew them all intimately through Rob back in either, you know, when I was living with Rob when he was playing in that era, just the manner in which they provide, because they knew I was really emotional about this one, what they provided. Even Geelong, the players, just all came together so well. And I found it one of the most enjoyable and emotional ones I've ever done, that one, until the cricket came along.
I thought you might have liked the cricket one.
Forging Fire was, that was pretty special.
And Two Nations, One Obsession, I don't know if that was what you wanted to do when you started out. That became a learning piece, I think. Mm. That with the whole Monkey Gate thing and Harbhajan and Andrew Simons, that I think there was a lot there that as cricket fans we learnt about that particular incident.
It became very cultural.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in my intention at the beginning. It just evolved that way through the players, through a lot of the Indian legends as well, hearing about how we've always viewed going to India is just a nightmare. Mm. And to be fair, I went to India for the doco and it is a nightmare. Like, you know, you get sick and all that. And we were staying in great places, but I was stunned by their view of coming here. It's not easy for them, which everyone here thinks, oh, it's a beautiful place to come, but it's really difficult for them. So, and just the language and just the, and what we say, what they interpret, that became a big feature of that film. And I'm really proud of that one, how it's turned out. And just found out recently that Cricket Australia have done a deal with Amazon, UK and US.
So oh, yeah.
It's around the world now, which is great.
You're a global enterprise, Pete Dixon. Goodness, you're a global enterprise.
I wouldn't want a cent from it.
We'll see if we can get that for you. Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. And we look forward to the next of your wonderful pieces of work. Winx, 11 a.m. on Saturday on Channel 7.
Really appreciate it, Jake.
Thanks for the chat. Cheers. Pete Dixon in studio. John Robison from Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, not too far away as well.